Thank you, Andrew and Grace, for kindly having me along today. It's wonderful to be with you and to share the Word of God with you. You know, Andrew was saying a very important Thank you, Andrew and Grace, for kindly having me along today. It's wonderful to be with you and to share the Word of God with you. You know, Andrew was saying a very important thing. The Word of God is very important. This is life. You know, the Bible says that all things will pass away, but one thing will never pass away, and that is the Word of God. And we're going to read a portion from it just now. Is that all right? Okay, and I tell you what, we'll do an African thing today. We'll do something the Africans do. They always stand when the Word of God is being read. So I think that'll be a good thing. Shall we do that? And I'm reading, Andrew mentioned Moses. I want to take a little story from Moses and a story recorded for us here in Exodus chapter 5. And we're going to, in fact, let's read the chapter, why not? It's it'll put it the whole thing in context. Exodus 5. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival for me in the desert." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The Lord, the God of Hebrews, has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to work." Then Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working." That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and the foreman in charge of the people: "You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They're lazy, that's why they're crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the men, so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies." And the slave drivers and the foremen went out and said to the people, "This is what the Pharaoh says: I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all." So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, "Complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw." The Israelite foremen appointed by Pharaoh's slave drivers were beaten and were asked, "Why didn't you meet your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?" And the Israelite foreman went and appealed to Moses, "Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no more straw, yet we're told make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people." Pharaoh said, "Lazy, that's what you are, lazy. That's why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You'll not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks." The Israelite foreman realized that they were in trouble when they were told, "You must not reduce the number of bricks required of you each day." When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, "May the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials, and you have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Moses returned to the Lord, and he said, "O Lord, why have you brought this trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." And then in just one little verse in 6, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country.'" Amen. The Lord will bless his word to us today. I really felt God wanted me to share this. You can be seated with me, with you today. I'm sure many of us can identify with the situation that that Moses and Aaron found themselves in. We've all been in situations like that, haven't we, where we felt the hand of God upon us. We felt led and directed by the Lord to do something, to move in a certain way, to move in a certain direction. And then it seems as if the whole thing has gone sour. And our first cry has been, "Where is God in the whole of this situation?" And you know, that's exactly the point that Moses was at in Exodus 5 and 6. God had eventually got him to that place where he was willing to be a spokesman for God. And he went before the Israelites. He went before Pharaoh. He performed many signs. And he was buoyed along by the encouragement and acceptance of the Israelites. And then he went to Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go." And at that point, when he was at the very pinnacle of God's will, suddenly it seemed as if all hell broke loose. And just about everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong. And he was swept into a terrible tornado of ever-increasing difficulty. And the underlying feeling of Moses' heart was, "Where is God in this whole situation?" Now, I want to make a statement this afternoon. Never believe that because you are being obedient to God, walking in his way, following in his will, never believe that that means that you will be insulated from pressure and difficulty. In fact, the hymn writer that penned those words, there used to be an old hymn we used to sing years ago when I was a young minister, and the words of the hymn were, "Not a shadow or sigh, not a cloud in the sky." Does anybody remember that old hymn? "Not a shadow or sky, not a shadow or sigh, not a cloud in the sky." Let me tell you something. That person got their theology badly wrong. Because Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble." Can anybody identify with that this afternoon? In this world, you will have trouble. And, you know, you will most especially have trouble when you are wanting to follow God and you're wanting to do his will. And in this instance, Moses had to cope with trouble on three levels. He had to cope with trouble, first of all, from those who did not know God. He had to cope with trouble with those around him who did know God. And he had to cope with trouble within himself, a trouble that affected his own heart and his own conscience before God. It's what the political commentators might have called a triple whammy. And so if you feel up against it this afternoon, be of good courage, because God leads all of his best people through what the Apostle James calls trials of many kinds. In fact, the old version, the authorized version, says divers kinds of trials, many, many different kinds of trials. Now, I would say that Moses was 9/10 prepared for the kind of reception he was going to get from Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. God, in verse 21 of chapter 4, warned him that Pharaoh's heart was going to be hard. And I think as Moses made his way to that royal throne room, he knew that the most powerful man in the ancient world wasn't going to be a pushover. After all, he had an irreplaceable source of cheap labor with the Israelites. He wasn't going to just turn the Israelites loose because some old hillbilly from the desert had said that God had commanded it. Can you imagine that? Here's this man, he comes from the desert. He's dressed as a shepherd. And he goes to Pharaoh and he says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Well, that was just, you know, not going to work as far as the Pharaoh was concerned. And I want to say, you know, when you're faithful to God and stand up for God in your factory or your office or wherever you find yourself, you're going to come across people who will harden their heart against you, and they'll harden their heart against the message that you bring. And who are we? Who do you think you are coming here and telling us about God and what's right and what's wrong? Who do you think you are with all your religiosity coming along and trying to tell us what we should be doing? Repent. Give your life to Christ. You must be joking. Give up what I'm doing now, the way that I'm living, because some God out there commands me that I've got to do it. You must be off your head. I'm quite happy, thank you very much, with how things are. Now, all of us have encountered people like that. I certainly have. And if you haven't, just wait, because that privilege is being reserved for you. But Moses was in this same situation. He was talking to a stubborn man who was quite happy with things as they were. He didn't want to see a change. He wanted the status quo to be as it was. Quite happy. And you know, my friends, the gospel, the Bible says, is to be preached to every creature, even the stubborn ones and the difficult ones. And who knows, if you keep at it, God just might open a way, even as he opened a way for Moses. And so Moses is stood in this situation before Pharaoh. He recognizes there's going to be pressure. And most of the time, so do we. And like Moses, most of us are 9/10 geared up for it. But Moses wasn't geared up for the consequences of what was about to take place. Moses wasn't geared up for that, because in seeking to do good, in seeking to follow God's direction, he seemed only to be making the situation 10 times worse. And perhaps there are some people here today and you say, you know, I only ever wanted to serve the Lord. I only ever wanted to do good. I only ever wanted to bring a blessing. But the way things have developed since I made a stand has just left me cold. Can I say God has allowed it? God has allowed it. This trial is a chisel that is seeking to form you more and more into the image of Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul, in one of his letters, he talks, doesn't he, about knowing the power of Christ's resurrection, but he also talks about the fellowship of his sufferings. None of us like to go down that road very often. But you know, that's what this really is all about. You know, you might be saying, well, are you saying, what are you saying? If you knew the extent of the problem I was in, or the depth of my heart and the animosity that has taken place and the things that have happened to me, oh, goodness me, you'd soon change your tune. You know, God knows, let me say, God knows the depth of hurt and animosity that can be stirred up. But he's promised in his word that we will not go beyond the limit that we can stand. I heard a lovely little quote the other day, and it said, "The God who knows our load limit graciously limits our load." And you know, God knows where you are. God understands. You know, when you think, I can't take much more of this. Let me say, God knows you better than you know you. So you might think that you're at the end, but let me tell you, God knows you better than you know you. And you may feel like that. Maybe the very people, you know, who like Moses, it was trying to help, were getting hurt. Pharaoh said with one snarl of his lip, "Turn up the agony, turn up the heat, make life hot for them. Get them out there doing the same amount of work, but this time let them gather their own straw for bricks." Man, it's all there in verses 6 to 9. My dear friend, has the devil turned up the agony on you? Have you been misrepresented? Misunderstood? Have things begun to happen that seem absolutely unreasonable and totally unfair? Well, you've got an opportunity today to link arms with Moses, because that's where he was. That's exactly where he was. Yes, the great Moses, through whom God was about to accomplish so much. And I want to say to you that it's in the school of trouble that God takes all his best people. Did you know that? God will take you to the school of trouble. He takes you there because in that place, not only do you learn about God, you learn an awful lot about yourself as well. And that's what God did with Moses. He took him to the school of trouble. He takes us into that from time to time in order to make sure that we all get the benefit of a very good education. You say, man alive, education, I've got degrees. I've got degrees in the school of trouble. I've got a PhD in the school of trouble. God says, yes, but wait till you see what I'm going to do with you. For I take you into the trial that I might refine you, that you will come forth as gold, that you will shine for me in a way that you never thought that you could shine for me. Now, I don't know about you, but when we're in the midst of it, that kind of reasoning seems about as relevant as a bathing suit for a duck. And Moses is in the same position. He hasn't a clue why these things are happening as they are. And you know, we can generally stand it when the pressure comes from out there. But when the pressure comes from those we know, I heard a little thing. It said, to live above with those we love, my, that will be glory. But to dwell below with those we know is quite a different story. And you know, it's great when it's out there, isn't it? You know, you can cope most of the time. But when it comes and it's the ones that are around you that are causing you the problems, that's when it's very, very difficult. And you know, you can see it all there. Can you think for a minute how embarrassed Moses must have felt, knowing that he'd made the situation for his own people 10 times worse? How embarrassing was that? And then finding out the very people he was trying to help went to Pharaoh themselves to try and sort out the problem that he had created. Man, what an embarrassment. Perhaps there's someone here today and you feel embarrassed by the way things have gone. You say, what does God think he's doing? Can I say again, link arms with Moses, because God used him. He just gave him a little lesson in all of this. And you know, he was embarrassed in front of those who mattered to him most. The very people he was trying to help. I want to ask you, are you prepared to take that lesson in the school of God? Will you allow your heart to undergo that kind of training Moses did? And what was worse, he didn't understand what it was all about either. And in the midst of all this suffering, this tremendous mental torture. I can imagine him thinking, what are you doing, God? Where are you in all of this? When are you going to turn up? When are we going to see the miracles? When are you going to deal with this man, Pharaoh? You know what God said? Feel a little more heat, Moses. Let the heat be turned on. You see, the thing is, Moses wouldn't have been the man he was had God not taken him through this. He wouldn't have been. It was all for a plan. If you think this is bad, wait and see what these folk, you know, who you care about, have got to say about you. It's there, isn't it, at the end of the chapter. Can you see it? Man, I can't believe those words. But look at chapter 5. They met Aaron at the end of chapter 5. Verse 20, may the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials. You've put a sword in their hand to kill us. He gets it both barrels, doesn't he? No question about it. Both barrels. Well, if he was feeling punch drunk before, or he was on the canvas now. He was in a situation because people are trying to sort out his mess, and he's just received the biggest broadside from the very people God had sent him to help. And you can see from verse 21, they didn't spare his blushes one instant. They ripped into him with all the vehemence and animosity that they could muster. And all this because he simply obeyed God. He simply listened to God. My friends, when we signed up for the kingdom of God, we thought it was all going to be, you know, glory all the way. And the difficult part was over, and we'd all just nicely breeze into eternity without a problem. No more difficulties for me, everybody. Oh, yeah? No, no. You see, God has to deal with us, our nature, our heart, our stubbornness, all the things that make us who we are, our pride. He has to put us through the ringer sometimes, till all these things are melted away. Our trust in him is complete. And if God could do it any other way than through the trials and tribulations, I'm sure that he would. But he understands the human heart. He understands what a proud thing human nature is, and so he puts us in the crucible to refine us and to make us die to ourselves until we become pliable material within his hands. And that's what God does. Perhaps today you feel as if the pressure after pressure has come upon you. It's come from quarters that you don't expect. Can I say, let God perform the work that he wants to do within you. Allow him to take you to the cross. Allow him to let you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that ultimately you can share in the power of his resurrection. For as the old chorus says, if you'll not bear the cross, you can't wear the crown. I want you to notice what Moses did in this situation. He did the only thing any of us can do. He began to pray. And you know, if you're really, sometimes we just have to get to God and say to God, God, help me. It's there in verse 22 and 23. Can you feel the agony of that prayer? Oh Lord. You know, this is a man here who is absolutely broken. He doesn't know which way to turn. Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Why? Is this why you... Can you see all the questions? Is this why you sent me? Is this what it was really all about? Was this the dream, Lord? Was this the vision? Was this what you had for me? He's just like you and me, isn't he? Just like you and me. Is this the dream? You know what? You know what God said? God said, Moses, you need to die more. Die more. And you know, the thing is, this is what God leads us to sometimes. It's a death to self, a death to our understanding, a death to our own way of knowing things about God. I can imagine him thinking, you know, where is God in all of this? Where is he? This is a man smarting from pain he doesn't understand. And yet notice the jewel of it is concern, even in the midst of all the trouble, is for the people of Israel. I believe at that point Moses proved to God that God had chosen the right man for the task. Can I say, God doesn't want us to hide behind religious language when we share him. He doesn't want us to be unreal. He wants us to share the bumps and the bruises and the frustrations that we sometimes feel. But he's looking at the same time to see if our character is developing, that it's bigger than the problem. He's looking to see whether or not there are any flowers of virtue that are blooming on the dung heap of trouble. And you know, that's sometimes God takes us through that, doesn't he? And when God saw that Moses really did love the people, it's then he shares with Moses his covenant promise that he will rescue them. You know, God's covenant is an irrevocable agreement. The essence of it in chapter 6 is that whatever is happening, I will keep my promise. And you know, sometimes we feel as if we're only holding on by our fingernails, don't we? God, where are you? But God says, I've made a covenant, I've made a promise. I've said to you that I'm going to bless you. I've said to you I'm going to do the thing. Trust me. Trust me when you can't see spiritually a hand in front of your face. Trust me. Because I'll bring you through. Just as I brought the Israelites out of Egypt. I will keep my word. I will do what I have agreed to do. Has God made some promises to you? Has he spoken to you? Has he told you some things that he's going to do? Let me ask you, does the situation look hopeless today? Does it look as if it will never be fulfilled? Do you feel that circumstances are such that it seems to be impossible? That's where Moses was. Yet in chapter 6, God reminds him that he will keep his promises. Can I say to you today, we have the same God. He's not changed. Even when circumstances may be arraigned against us, he's not changed. Even when we feel we're in an impossible situation, he's not changed. Even when things are, you know, raised against us, he's not changed. Even when we feel the earth is opening up in front of us, he's not changed. He's not changed. And what's more, he keeps his promises. And today we need to remind ourselves that we will win through, because God gives us the victory in Christ. What a trial Moses had to go through. And even knowing the promise of God did not immediately change the situation. And in verse 9 of 6, Moses, full of new faith, spoke again to the Israelites. But you know what they did? They ignored him. I can imagine them thinking, here comes that joker who said God told him to rescue us. And if he thinks we're going to pay any attention to him the second time around, he must be out of his head. The last time we listened to this guy, we ended up with no straw for the bricks. And if we listen to him again, I just don't know where we're going to be. I really just do not know where we are going to be. Trust him? Absolutely no way, Jose. You know what God said to Moses? Die further. Now suffer the pain of rejection. Now get a taste of what it feels like to lose all respect. Let me see how much you really love these people. Let me see if you'll still hold unswervingly to my promise. And then when you've derived absolutely no encouragement from that, take on Pharaoh again and tell him to let the Israelites go. You cannot be serious, God. But God was serious. But no wonder in verse 12 he seems reluctant. You'd think he'd been pushed beyond the limit of human endurance. But the underlying principle in all of this was that God is faithful to his promise. When the situation's 10 times worse, when you're embarrassed, when people speak to you as if you're the scum of the earth, when you're rejected, even when your heart fails you for fear and you just don't know which way to go, the Lord says, I keep my promises. And God's work on you and me this morning, when it all seems to be going badly wrong, is so that he can shape us more and more into the image of Jesus. Jesus was misunderstood, wasn't he? The most perfect man that ever lived. You couldn't get anyone more wonderful than Jesus. But he was hated, he was misunderstood, he was betrayed. He was wounded in the house of his friends. My friends, you know, Leonardo da Vinci once had a great lump of stone delivered to his studio. And a small boy stood next to the great artist and he said, what are you going to do with that lump of stone? And Leonardo da Vinci turned to the boy, he said, there's an angel in that stone. He said, you can't see it, but there's an angel in that stone. But I've got to chisel it out. And you know, God has ways of doing that with us. He takes his chisel and he chisels it out. He chisels out. And as God looks at you and me today, he says, there is the image of Christ under that rough and ready individual. There's the image of Christ beneath all that self. But I've got to sometimes take my chisel and chisel those things out. Do we feel we're in the school of trouble today? I've been in the school of trouble many times. Many, many times. I said, God, where are you? Where are you in all of this? I can't see how this is going to work out. Nobody understands. But I'm reminded today, as Moses was reminded, God always, always keeps his promises. We're going to just pray together. Let's just bow our heads together in prayer. I really felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to share this message with you today. I don't know why, but I just felt it was really something from God that God wanted to impart. Maybe today you're feeling that you're really up against it. God has come to you today to encourage you not to give up, to encourage you to trust him, even when things don't seem to be going how they should go. Even when things, you know, you can't understand anything. And you know, as I speak to you, I speak to me. Because I've got my own challenges as well. So as I speak to you, I'm speaking to me. And God is saying to all of us today, trust me. I'll come through. I know you can't see the answers now. I know it doesn't make an awful lot of sense. I know you feel that people have let you down and hurt you and betrayed you and caused you all kinds of difficulties. I know that you feel misunderstood and unappreciated and all the things that go with seeking to follow me and walk with me. I know that, says God. But trust me, because I keep my promises. And I'll keep my promise to you, if you'll simply trust and believe. Lord, you know all of our hearts today. You know each one of us here. You know what each of us are going through. But we believe today that you are the answer. We believe today that you are the one who has come with your promise of fulfillment. And that as you have spoken, it will be done. It will be done. I just feel that if you feel that God has spoken to you, just stand to your feet as an indication. Just now, just say, God has spoken to me. I just stand to my feet as a recognition of that. And I just receive it now. Thank you, all of you standing. Lord, as we stand in your presence and as you see our hearts laid bare before you, we just reaffirm today our faith and our trust in you, in your promise, in your deliverance, in all that you want to do. And Lord, although we can't work it out with our human thinking and our mind and our own will, we believe that you are on the throne. We believe that you are the one who will bring to fruition all the things that you have said. And whoever stands in the way, whether they be a Pharaoh or a situation or a circumstance or a giant that seems to be immovable, we say, you, O Lord, will come through in each situation. And we trust you for that today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Bless you all. Thank you.